Yeah, well, thank you again for allowing me to give my testimony. Obviously, you guys know that I on Friends Day last year, I gave my testimony, and I just want to say straight away that when I gave it in all sincerity. I truly believe that that was my testimony. And certain things that happened in my life is what caused me to believe that, but since seeking the Lord, I've been shown from Him that that wasn't the day that I was saved. Now, the first time I ever gave my testimony was after a time when a brother from one of the first churches that I went to discipled me and said, "When did you get saved?" And the only time that I could think back to was a time when I was what I thought then 13 years of age, where I, in desperation, cried out to God to save me. Now, I didn't have all the doctrine of salvation or eternal security, but I just remember I could never, ever forget that day. That's the day that I got saved when I gave that testimony. As I began to be discipled and learnt the Word of God, that is when I started to look and say there was a contradiction in the way that I was living to the way that I see, you know, the Word of God and the way that I saw other people get saved. I saw people get saved and their lives were just changed dramatically. And I'm thinking, what happened? Why didn't I have that? Well, I was, well, at that stage, I thought I was 13 or 14 years of age that I cried out. I didn't go to church. I didn't have a church. I just had uncles that professed to know Christ as their Savior, dad that, taught us the Word of God, but their lives certainly did not imitate that of Christ. And so I thought it was just normal as a Christian to be struggling with sin. I didn't have the church. I didn't really read the Bible that much. But, when I gave that testimony, that day, the first time ever, I was sold out for the Lord. I just wanted to see people get saved. And so I gave my testimony. And as I began to walk, in the Christian walk, and I went from that church to another church, just started looking at the Word of God more and more. And I thought, how did I do those things as a Christian? I couldn't understand it. I just couldn't understand it. And then I looked back, at the age of about, I think just before I met my wife, I looked back at about, 20 years of age, I thought, did I just get saved? Because it was so, such a big change. And I thought, I think I only just got saved. And so my testimony changed. And I thought, that's what took place. But there wasn't a specific time during there where I actually remember like a one-time event where I cried out to the Lord. It was a time when I actually cried out to the Lord thousands of times for salvation because I was doubting it so badly. I remember one of the first times I went to church, I saw my friend and he asked me if I said the sinner's prayer. And I said to you guys before, what is the sinner's prayer? I never heard of this. But I just said, yeah, of course. I'm a Christian, of course I said it. And I just was scared. I was like, what does that mean? I recall going home and trying to look at that up on the internet. I don't know whether I found anything, but I just began to start doubting whether I was actually a Christian or not. And so as time went on, I started going to church more and more, and I started hearing preachers talk and say, if you don't know the date that you're saved, then you're not saved. Well, I didn't know the date. I had no idea what date it was that I got saved. So I just thought, well, why would this man lie to me? This must be true. Maybe I'm missing something. Again, I doubted to know when. I cried out to God, if I'm not saved, save me. Please, I don't want to go to hell. There were times when there would be preachers preaching, and the Lord only just reminded me of this the other day, that they would say, if you want to get saved, come forward. And I thought, but I already believe in you, Lord. I believe in you already. Why do I have to go to an altar? And the music would play, and my emotions would get the better of me. And because I never went forward, I felt, oh, maybe God showed me that I'm not saved. And so I'd like, I wish I could go back and walk down the aisle. That's how I was feeling. But I was like, but I already believe you, Lord. You are my Savior. And then time went on more and more that I started to struggle with more preachers coming at me and then different men challenging my salvation. I thought, how am I ever going to, just deal with this? But I can say for sure that there was a lot of sin in my life that was, I believe now, the cause of why I could never get that assurance. I wasn't surrendered to the Lord. And then through a lot of failure, I eventually came to myself and said, I'm sick of this life. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sinning and I'm telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm thinking, something wrong there. And I said, Lord, there was a time, I believe it was the NBF in Sydney there, and I just said, Lord, I want to get serious for you. Salvation wasn't on my mind. It wasn't that I was thinking that I need to get saved. I just said, Lord, I just want to live for you. And I remember getting discipled, baptized, and I wanted to go out and preach the word. And the brother who discipled me, the way he was witnessing on the street, I'm thinking, this is amazing. I remember this encounter he had with a Muslim, and I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. This is something new. And I just wanted to tell everyone about the Lord. That's why I can do this too. And so I did. And so this is why I look back and thought, oh, I think I just got saved. This is like a dramatic change. But again, I could not pinpoint a time where I actually cried out to the Lord, specifically for salvation, and remembering God answered me. I just had struggles and just wanted God to keep on doing it. And so, many years on, there's a whole lot I could talk about this whole experience, but I'm here today, and we had this struggle during this time that I was at this church, is when did I actually get saved? I was memorizing through Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verse 13 that says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so during that memorization of that scripture, I just remember thinking, there's a day that I was born again. Now, I heard the word of truth and always believed it to be the truth. I never doubted it, that Jesus was the way to heaven. But when did I make the Savior my Savior? And so I began to seek out the Lord. Lord, when did I actually get saved? Please, I need you to show me. And I believe it was caused by, like brother said before, that we were talking about when people got saved, people were being surrendered and rebaptized. I knew that wasn't a matter for me. I knew I didn't have to get baptized, because once I surrendered, then I got baptized. But I just said, Lord, I'm not worried about their testimonies. I want to know from you, Lord, when I got saved. And I just want to say at this point, in this whole time I had seeking out my testimony, it was just a struggle like you wouldn't believe. Like, I struggled. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 came to my heart. Blessed be God. And it wasn't just because we memorized it. This was something that the Lord hit me very hard one night. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so that verse, that was just a comfort to me at that time. And I remember thinking, Lord, am I going to go through this so I can help other people? And that's what God communicated to me, that when I go through this with Him, that I'm going to use it one day for other people. And so that is my hope today. It's helped me, but I hope it will be a help to someone in this room or someone out there that will listen to this testimony. But at this time, I diligently sought the Lord. I fasted, I prayed, and I was begging the Lord to show me when I got saved, because I just wanted to hear from Him. But there was a time that was going by that I just wasn't hearing anything from the Lord. I said, Lord, are you sure? I need to know. I need to know. And I got desperate. Lord, please show me. Please show me. And one night I remember that I look back at it now, and I believe the Lord was trying to show me straight away, that I just thought back to the night where I was in my room, and I cried out to the Lord. I said, what room was that? There was a house in, Greenacre and Waterloo Road, and there was a house in Omega Place in Greenacre. And I was trying to think about where I was, and then it just occurred to me, I was in a room at the front of Omega Place. I thought, I wasn't 13 years of age. I was about 15 years of age. And it started to make sense to me more and more. Because when I thought back to the way I was at school, especially from year 7 to year 9, I was a rebel. Uncontrollable. I would fight people whenever I wanted to. I would cause trouble. I would throw chairs at teachers because I wouldn't get my own way. If they told me that I wasn't allowed to go to the toilet, I'd just walk out the door anyway. I was a rebel. And I knew that I was a wicked kid. No one had to ever tell me that I was a sinner. I knew it myself. I just knew that I was always on detention. I was always picking up other people's rubbish because I was always in trouble. But something happened at 15 years of age, because I remember a certain time when I walked up the walkway there at school and thinking, I just don't want to muck up anymore. I just don't want to muck up anymore. I want to just do the right thing and learn. And I remember going to school the next year, year 10, and that whole year, as far as I can remember, not one clean-up, not one detention, nothing. I didn't think back then that it was a work of God in my life, but I just thought, okay, I just want to behave myself now. And there was a time where, you know, I was reading my Bible more. No one made me, but I wanted to read the Bible. I didn't go to church, really. I went to a charismatic church next door, but I just used to think that these people are crazy. They're not Christians. They can't be Christians the way they carry on. I just didn't see that they were of God. But I just continued reading my Bible, you know, in somewhat being a hypocrite, saying that they can't be Christians, but how I was living was a contradiction at times. I would close my door as well, that, you know, when I read my Bible, I didn't really want my dad or brother to know that I was reading my Bible. It was a weird feeling, because, like, I'd never read it before, and then I just wanted to start reading this word, and I wanted to start. I would write down notes from the book of Acts. I'm thinking, I have no idea what I'm reading, but I just want to read it. But I never thought much of it. And so not long after that, I got my P's, and I just wanted to go to church. I remember asking my grandmother, can you show me where to go to church? I want to get into church. And she sent me to a Bible-believing church there in Condor Park. And just being under that word was like, oh, yes, this is so good. Funny enough, it's a shame at the time, but I lost my license from speeding. And because I didn't want to miss church, I just kept driving anyway. I just wanted to be at church. Nothing was going to stop me. And then one time I lost my license again for good, and I knew that I can't be driving because I was going to get in big trouble. And my friend picked me up and started taking me to the church that I was attending there in Sydney. And again, I got under more and more under the Word of God, more under the Word of God. So, you know, I just looked at that and thought, when I look back at that, I thought something had seriously changed in my life back then. But when I was trying to work out when I actually got saved, I was thinking about all that taking place, but then I was thinking about the sin that I was doing. And I thought, how can that be possible? When God was trying to show me, I was like, nah, Lord, it can't be. To be honest with you, I didn't want it to be. I didn't, because it's a shame, you know, to even speak of them, those things that I'd done of them in secret. And it was a shame, the things that I did. If I told you, you'd probably think, oh, you know, that's, other people have struggled with that. But to me, I just thought, that's a shame to do those things. I just didn't want it to be my salvation. I wanted to be saved when I was 20, 21, where I surrendered. That's when I really wanted it to be the case. Then came my biggest hurdle. I asked myself, what if I'm being deceived? Praying and praying and praying, but what I understood, no answer from God, and I was scared. I was scared to the point where, maybe I'm just not saved. Maybe I'm deceiving myself. So I started questioning every motive that I had. I started really questioning everything that I did. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Is that because I'm trying to be religious? That's how I was in my head. I was thinking, am I just being like a normal Catholic? But I knew, no, I want to go out witnessing because I want to tell people about Jesus. That's what I want to do. And so I was struggling. And then I had a friend who came out and said that he got saved, who was a son of a pastor. And I was like, hang on, that's confusing. Because when I spoke to that kid about many different desires that he had for the Lord, I was confused. I thought, how could he not have been saved? And so I just, again, started thinking, well, that's something wrong there in my life then, because I don't know. I just don't know, Lord. And it turned out that he actually was saved, but it was just he saw the cross in another way. And then another circumstance came by where a young friend, you know, of the church got saved in PNG. And I thought, oh, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Now, he sincerely got saved. But I thought, Lord, are you showing me that I need to get saved? And I honestly was burying my head into the lounge. And I said, Lord, please save me, save me, save me, save me, save me. I didn't stop. I couldn't actually move off the chair for about 4 days. I think 3 or 4 days, because, you know, my memory is so bad, but, you know, this whole situation is a blur. But I remember specifically for 3 or 4 days that I was laying on the couch with my pillow in my mouth, just biting on it, not knowing that I was, because I was so distressed, thinking, I can't get saved. I just can't. And to the point where I caused major grief in my wife's heart, thinking, you know, the man that's supposed to be stable and strong in her life, I'm just like a wreck. I was finished. And I remember seeing her absolutely bothered to know it. I said to the Lord, please, Lord, give me the strength to be strong in front of my wife. It was a struggle. Can't explain it to you. Struggled. Please, Lord, give me the strength to be strong in front of my wife. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't. Lord, give me the strength. I said, Lord, I can't do this to her. So I got up from my chair and I put a facade on. I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to pretend I'm saved until you and I, Lord, work this out. Please, show me. So I struggled through that. Then came the marks of a true Christian. And I got to the point for the first time in my life, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to be there. Yeah, I just said, Lord, it's not that I don't want to hear the word preached. I just can't handle this anymore. I need to know, Lord. I need to know. And as I went through these different marks of salvation, I just said, Lord, I had these when I was a teenager, but how did I do these things? How? I couldn't have been saved. The Lord kept communicating to me through these messages. No, you had that. You had that. I thought, I couldn't have. And the Lord kept on communicating it to me. And there was this one thing that really I couldn't shake, and that was where people had joy at their salvation. I don't remember ever thinking or remembering that I had this overwhelming joy at my salvation. I don't remember it. I remember that night when I was in bed, I was crying out to the Lord because I was thinking of space, and I ended up thinking of hell. I said, Lord, please save me from hell. And I just remember thinking of heaven. There was a comfort. The Lord reminded me, yeah, I believe you were saved. I thought, okay, Lord, if that's when I was saved, I'll tell people, but I just wanted to wait a bit longer. And so I kept doubting, and then the Lord kept trying to show me. I thought, I'm not going to settle this until I work out that I'm actually saved. And because I couldn't work out when I was actually saved, I said, Lord, I need to find out whether I actually am or not. And so I began to study the Word of God, and I actually opened up the Bible, 1 John 5:13, kept coming, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. I said, Lord, I need to know. I kept reading other scriptures, and the Lord kept on communicating to my heart, yes, you are saved, you are a child of God. But Lord, I said, I can't have been the way I lived. He said, you are a child of God. And I remember Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I knew that in my life I had called upon him and called upon him countless times. And then I just was like, okay, Lord, I'm saved. Now I need you to show me. And then it came to the point where I said, Lord, I can't bear this anymore. I can't actually handle this anymore. I need you to show me. And I buried my head into the pillow at home and I said, Lord, I need you to show me. Please show me tomorrow. I begged him that I can't deal with this anymore. And then Buddy preached a message on walking in the Spirit, and he said, you know, this one verse, this Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I thought, oh, that's what happened. That's what happened. I got saved when I was 15 years of age, and I just walked into the world. I was like I was freed from bondage like the Israelites, but only to walk into the wilderness until the Lord would bring me into the promised land. And I just thought that, you know, I needed to get under the Word of God. And it wasn't until I started going to church that the Lord worked in my heart, and that's when he started to change me. A verse that came through my studies of just personal studies, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And it occurred to me that as I was studying the life of Christ and studying the Word of God, I realized, okay, Lord, I'll obey that. And I saw how Christ was in the Word of God, and I thought, well, that's how I've got to be. And so the Spirit of God in me changed me from glory to glory and was changing me day unto day. There was a time when I fell, and the Lord picked me back up. And I fell, and I picked me back up, but I knew the Lord was changing me. And that's why I thought I got saved at that time. That's why I honestly thought that when I got under the Word, I got saved. Because, yeah, I repented at salvation, but I also repented at my surrender, and they were identical. Except this time, I knew that because I was under the Word of God, my life started to change. And so now, you know, I'm a Christian who is just sold out for the Lord. I don't want to live any other way. I don't want to live for the world. I want to live for the Lord. And that's a miracle. That's a work that God started at the age of 15 years of age. The Lord showed me that I was saved then. There were struggles. And again, like I said to you, I look back and say, oh Lord, I wish it wasn't the case. I actually wish that that wasn't my salvation. I wish it was when I was 20, 21. There's a clear testimony there. But I had to submit to God and say, okay, Lord. And then, Lord, if you could use my testimony for others, I hope that He would. And so now, I've had little tiny niggly doubts at the time where I thought, come on, I couldn't have been. And the Lord kept on confirming, you were saved then. You were saved then. And He kept showing me verse after verse. I wish I could go through all of them, but the one that Josh preached on, how we shine brighter unto a day, unto the perfect day. You know, that was like, oh Lord, that's what's happening in my life. Once I got under the Word of God, it changed. And so, you know, that's my testimony. I hope that it'll be a help to others in this room or elsewhere. But I appreciate your prayers, because I know it was through the prayers of this church that the Lord helped me to know when I got saved. And I thank God for this family, my brethren here.
When I was a babe in Christ, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, I carried it on with me for so long, and I still carry it till now. It helped me to no end. It was one of those, I believe, life verses that that you memorize and hide in your heart and remember without even thinking. You know, you don't even try to, you know, it's just in your heart. It's embedded in there, you know. It becomes like second nature. You're just doing it. You know what I mean? You're not memorizing it. You've memorized it. It's in your heart, and now you're living it out. And you're walking with the Lord, living out that verse. And that's what I believe needs to take place. We need to live out Scripture. Many a times people want to, you know, quote Scripture and learn Scripture, and it's good, but it's supposed to make you wise unto salvation. It's supposed to make you wise unto the knowledge of God and bring out, you know, the attributes of God to get to know Him. You know, grow in what? Grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what Scripture's supposed to do. But some people look at Scripture almost like a textbook. And I believe there's a lack of trusting in this book to be the living Word of God, and trusting in the author of the book to make those words a reality in your life. I really believe that with all my heart. You know, can I just say, this book is not like a magical book in a sense where it's like, you know, these people that have they read, you know, certain star signs or fortune cookies, and the Word of God's not like that. You know, chance. It's not. God is. He doesn't speak to us through chance. There has to be a real living relationship between God and you, and you can't have it without the Word of God. So the first word there in Proverbs 3 verse 5 says trust. That's key. You know, trust, what's the opposite of trusting?
Yeah.
That's right. Trust and doubt can't be in the same room at the same time. Yeah, you know, you switch off the light, it's going to be dark. You put on the light, it's going to be light, you know. Same thing with trust and doubt. They can't be in the room at the same time. You have to have one or the other. And so when I approach God, I need to trust him. I need to, you know, have my faith in him. Now, let me say this to you. I've preached at many camps during the times that I've been through Bible college and different things, and, you know, people got a whim that I was on fire for God, and, you know, they want me to go share my testimony and all this. And I'd go and share my testimony and try to be an encouragement, but I'd get these people coming up to me, and they'd say to me things like, oh, you know, I'm not sure if I'm saved, you know, I don't know if I've believed with all my heart. How do you believe with all your heart? Or they would say is, I don't know if I said the prayer right. I'm thinking, you've missed it. I think you've absolutely missed it. You know, the prayer is not like a formula that you say, and then you're missing, you know, the person behind, you know, the prayer, if you want to say that. He's God that you're talking to. And sometimes I think to myself, these people that have the right doctrine and under the right word are treating God like I used to treat God in my Catholicism. You know, I used to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it was like God wasn't there. I believe it was because no one taught me right, or I had an understanding that wasn't fruitful. I'm not going to blame it on God. I just believe my circumstantial, you know, growing up and people just leading me astray and not understanding. And this is why I believe Paul says to Timothy that pray for all men that they'll come to the knowledge of what?
The truth.
The knowledge of the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I am the way and the truth. And so I didn't know that, and I'm thinking, these guys don't know the truth. They're looking at the formula, they're looking at what man is saying more than what God is saying. And that's the problem. And the Bible says in Psalm, cursed is the one that puts their trust in man. Mm-hmm. Cursed! And people, I believe, you know, let me say this. I believe the sinner's prayer is a curse. I believe that's been a curse in Christendom. It's like infant baptism. I really believe that. There's no sinner's prayer in the Bible. You show me one time where Jesus used the sinner's prayer. Show me one time where Paul the Apostle used the sinner's prayer. Show me. And sometimes the sinner's prayer is the very curse thing that gets a wedge between you and God and having a serious, heartfelt relationship with God. Did you know you can believe on God without moving your mouth?
Yeah, sure.
It's what happened to the woman with the blood issue. She had a touch of faith. She says, oh man, you know, who touched me? I said, oh, everyone's thronging you. Oh, what do you mean, who touched you? And I said, nah, someone touched me. What came out of him? Virtue came out of him. Someone believed. Someone had genuine faith. How close were they to the Lord? They were touching him and still didn't have faith. The faith factor is so important. That's how we're saved. We're saved through faith. And not through ourselves, not of ourselves. And that's what I believe takes place today. They're trusting themselves. They're trusting in the sincere of their... Oh, did I say it sincerely? You're still trusting in yourself.
Right.
You're not trusting God. You're not looking at the cross. You're not looking at him. You're looking at yourself. You know how the Lord narrows it down to? A mustard seed. What do you think the Lord takes it to right so small? What do you think he does it? Because it's got nothing to do with you. Salvation's got nothing to do with you, and salvation's got nothing to do with me. So he takes it down to this little, tiny, little thing that if you just put that tiny little faith in God, mate, mountains will be moved, salvation will come to your home, and God will do wonders. I believe one of the things are unbelief. That's why you have to call out on the Lord so many times, because you don't believe the first time you called out on the Lord. And I don't know how that feels. I really don't. I don't know the torment of that. And I'm not saying, you know, it's wrong to go through that in a sense. Because the disciples went through that. And he helped their unbelief. People went through that and the Lord was trying to help their unbelief. So I'm not saying it's wrong, but the Lord wants to help your unbelief.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that feels. So you know, when I believed, I've never doubted my salvation. I believed that one time. I never doubted him ever since. I knew the Lord would save me. I knew he would keep me. I believed on him as a person. I believed on his word. It's true. I believed that he's not a liar. I believed all that. I believed he was good. And I knew he was good. I just didn't deserve to be saved. I couldn't even believe that he would save someone like me. I don't know how someone goes through that. I don't. But I know that people can. That's why 1 John was written. That's why 1 John was written. Because people can struggle in that area. The disciples struggled. Listen, John the Baptist had a insy-winsy doubt. Remember when he said, you know, where did the Lord direct John the Baptist to? What did he say when he said, are you the one to come or are we expecting another? Where did he take him back? Isaiah 61, verse 1. The blind see, the lame walk. Listen, the gospel's preached to the poor. That's the most important thing, by the way, that the gospel is preached to the poor. The good news, the good tidings that God has come in the flesh to save sinners, to seek and save that which is lost. If you get in your heart and brain and mind and everything that God wants you saved more than you do, my friend, He planned it. He planned it. He wants you saved more than you want to be saved. You think God's going to sit there and say, oh, you just missed it? See, God, you either believe or you don't.
That's right.
You believe or you don't. And that, if God sees someone's, and he can see, by the way, he can see the heart of man whether they truly believe on him and whether they don't. He can see that. He knows when someone doesn't care about him.
That's right.
He knows when someone doesn't care about the Lord. He knows when someone's not insincere. He knows. He knows all those things. And he knows at the very same time if you're sincere. And that's all he wants to see. The fourth soil, true and honest heart. And another gospel, believed in a sincere, received the word in a sincere heart. Genuine. Faith in the Son of God. So how do you believe? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How do you believe with all your heart? We've got to believe his person. He's good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, when we preach the gospel to people, that's like giving them a taste of honey. And they have a little taste and say, I want a bit more of that. And if someone doesn't want more of that, you know, they're not really seeing the goodness of God that's been extended to them. You know, isn't that what Romans chapter 2 says? That the goodness of God brought me to repentance? Yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened to me. Yeah, I saw my sin for what it was. And I saw hell waiting for me, like a big mouth opening up to swallow me, because I deserved it. But that night, my friend, I saw the love of God shed abroad. And that night it was shed abroad in my heart.
Amen.
It overshadowed me. The love of God came upon me. He says, yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm your Savior. That night when I called on the Lord, I wasn't condemned. I was free. So why does condemnation come? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 5 that if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. But what do we have to do? Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And this is why we say that only God can give you assurance. No one else can. No one else can. Only God can. If you're waiting for someone to give you assurance or say, oh yeah, I think you're saved. As far as we can go is, I'm persuaded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee that dwelt with your mother and your grandmother. But that's as far as we can go. And Paul was inspired by God, by the way, when he says, I believe that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He could say that so strongly because he was inspired by God. He was an inspired writer. I don't know if everybody's name here's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I could say that many of you, I'm persuaded that you are. Say, well, some of you, I'm not really sure. I'm not the final judge. And someone once said, we'll be very surprised to see who's going to be up there when we get there. But I know this. I know that there's a God in heaven that loves you. and he loves you to bits. And the last thing he wants for you is to perish and die in your sin. The last thing he wants. God does not in any way take pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Mm.
It actually grieves his heart to see people reject him and resist the Holy Spirit. It breaks his heart. So God wants salvation more than you do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And look at this. And lean not unto thy own understanding. Trying to work it out. Trying to put the puzzles or pictures together. You know, trying to think things through and pull things apart and reason things in our hearts and minds. And can I just say this? The worst thing that you can do is look around at other people's testimonies to work out whether you're saved by their standard. That's the worst thing.
Mm.
You know, other people's testimonies were never there to discourage you.
Mm.
They were there to encourage you. But how did we get discouraged? Because we compare ourselves amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
And Paul the Apostle says, that's not wise. That's not wise. And say, in all your ways. What's all mean? Oh, do you have to be a theologian to know what all means? No. All means all. In all your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he maybe will direct your path. No. He shall direct your path. Do you believe the promises of God? Do you believe the God that says through the epistles and also through the Sermon on the Mount that you're yea be yea and nay be nay? Do you believe that God is like whatever he says? It's true.
Amen.
Doesn't go back on his word. Do you believe that God is not a man that he should lie? Do you believe the integrity of God? Because you know what? Let me just say this. Unbelief attacks the integrity of God. That's what it does. And that's why it's a sin to doubt him. Because it attacks his integrity. And I really believe that comes from the evil one.
Mm.
The devil is working so hard, day and night, right from the beginning, to get you to doubt his word. And doubt his word is to doubt his integrity, who he is. If you doubt his word, it reflects on his character. That's why God magnifies his word above his name. His word is his bond. It reflects on who he is. And he's not a man that he should lie. As a matter of fact, Titus says that he promised from the foundation of the world that a God that cannot lie, he promised salvation to us. And he should direct. Well, sometimes we miss verse 6, don't we? Verse 7, sorry. Be not wise in thy own. Look at this. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Bible says God will have mercy upon those that fear him. This is now, even though those God is good, God is loving. And we can see that, how he gave us his son. There's a part of God that he's holy and righteous. And that also needs to come in its proper place. That is the place that we need to be in awe and reverence of God. And listen to me. They're the two extremes that people err on. As much as I know that God loves me to bits, and I do, and that's what keeps me going, I know there's a side of him that he can be upset with me. And that puts a fear in my heart, because I don't want him to be upset with me. And I don't want to displease him.
Amen.
And I don't want him to bring the love of correction out. But he will, because he's holy. And he doesn't spoil us. And he'll deal with us according to our ways. And he's a God that doesn't show any partiality. He doesn't favor one person over another person. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. And I really believe unbelief is evil.
Mm.
I really do. Unbelief condemns people to hell. It really does. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he had not believed in the only name of the only begotten Son of God. So I just want to say that if you've ever struggled in your faith, you can just say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Mm.
And in the first few years of those disciples, that's what he was doing. He was helping their faith. And God uses different things in your life to strengthen your faith and to bring you where you need to be. And God wants to do that in your life. He loves you. Can you just edge that in your heart that He absolutely loves you? Like He loves you. Fear brings torment. But perfect love cast out fear. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. And that comes with a healthy view of God, of who He is. You know, God deals with us differently than how He deals with the wicked. And you know it just a little bit more when you have children. It's almost, it just increases of how you deal with, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more? I'm evil and I want the best for my children. How much more? Yeah. Am I better than the Heavenly Father? And I want the best for my children. And I really mean that. If I had to die, I'd die for them like that. I'll take their place if I had to give something. And Romans 5 says that, right? But then it says, but God commendeth His love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. In our worst condition, enemies with God, He still came down. And just ponder upon that for a moment. So can you imagine in our worst condition, compared to now being heirs and joint heirs with God, with Christ and God? I told him I want him to share this testimony because James Hood went through this. James Hood struggled in this area. Not with his salvation, but when he got saved. As a matter of fact, he got saved when he was a young boy. And as he got older in his teens, he made some bad decisions and went out and tried to be cool with these guys that he was hanging out with. Until God got a hold of his heart in one camp, I think it was. And he remembers he just surrendered. And sometimes surrender looks like you got saved. Because that joy comes back again. But can I just say this to you? If it was there or there, aren't you saved? Rejoice.
Yeah.
In God your Saviour. Rejoice. Like Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, her Saviour. Who is He to you? I mean, I'm going to close off with this. Who is He? Who's the Lord to you? How do you view Him? You view Him as this big, angry, wanting to ruin your life? Yeah, that's how people view God. They don't view God as God is trying to discipline me, help me, guide me, lead me, wants the best for me. They don't see God like that. They see Him as this big monster. Why? Because they've been listening to the devil too much. They've been watching Hollywood too much. The music is in their ears. That's why they've been feeding seeds from the devil. See? It's devilish. This wisdom's not from above.
That's right.
It's devilish. And so it distorts our view of God. But you just have to stick your nose back in this book. And get to know the God of the Bible. Not just your Bible. Listen, the God of the Bible. It'll change your life.
Amen.
Let's pray. Buddy, would like to pray.